Our first scripture reading today is Psalm 1, the two ways. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of coffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is Luke 3:21 and Luke 4:1-13. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven opened, and then the testing of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord, the Lord our God, and serve only him." Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You've most likely heard the final lines of this Robert Frost poem. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Throughout the season of Lent, which we often describe as a journey toward the cross and eventually the resurrection, we will be focusing on pilgrimage and paths or roads. Our Lenten series is based, as the last few have been, on resources from Worship Design Studio, and this Lenten series is entitled The Way, developed around the movie by the same title. It follows the pilgrimage of Tom as he walks the Camino de Santiago, a 500-kilometer trek through France and Spain to the Santiago de Compostela, the Cathedral of St. James. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is on a pilgrimage of his own in a desert wilderness. He is forced to face his demons and make choices which solidify his identity and ground him in his purpose and mission. Our personal journeys are not always straightforward. There are bumps on the road, diversions or detours perhaps, but when we are open to the possibility of growth and change, we can experience profound and lasting transformation. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We hear the scripture of Jesus in the wilderness every year on this first Sunday of Lent, just from a different gospel. This year it's Luke. After his baptism, Jesus is led into the desert for a 40-day period of spiritual preparation for his ministry. The text says that he ate nothing, which would have left him weak, and for a normal person, like one of us, in a state of mental fogginess. When we're not fueled in our body, our mind and our willpower do not always operate at 100%. And yet Jesus, because he is fully human and fully divine, is able to deal with the challenges he faces on his pilgrimage. As the devil tempts him with bread to satisfy his physical hunger, power over kingdoms that could be his, and an opportunity to show his divine nature, Jesus resists. The devil's taunting him, bullying him, really, into failing before he even begins his public ministry. Yet Jesus resists falling into this trap. Any spiritual quest, when we are stepping out in faith to have an experience that gives us clarity about a decision, or perhaps to challenge us in a particular area, is usually an experience of wandering. We're never sure about what might occur on the journey. We might set out traveling one road, but are then led down a different path. We may step foot on a trail with a particular destination in mind, but change directions at some point. Perhaps we go on pilgrimage feeling like we know what we want as the end result. We know what we're going to learn on this journey, mentally or spiritually. But we just want some time by ourselves to make sure. The pilgrimage we hope will bring clarity. But then by the end, we come to a totally different decision. This is how the journey becomes a wandering one. In the film The Way, Tom starts out on his trek alone. And he really wants the trip to be a solo adventure. He is grieving the loss of his son, who died on his first day walking the Camino. Tom is most likely pondering the difficult relationship that they had. Tom had not trained for the physical demands of the trek because it was a last-minute decision, and so he really did need to focus on his breathing, to pay attention to his body. Tom didn't have the energy to deal with other people. But he meets a man named Yost early on the Camino Trail, and they keep bumping into one another until they end up walking together. One night, when Tom needed to stop earlier than Yost, Tom meets a woman named Sarah. And again, they don't initially set out to travel together, but she appears down the road and joins Tom and Yost, who had reunited in Pamplona. And then Tom, Yost, and Sarah come upon a man named Jack, an Irish writer, having a temper tantrum or an argument with himself in the middle of a field. And he also joins the group. Tom isn't particularly happy to have any of them as his travel companions, but he can't seem to shake them. He walks intently, often way ahead of them, but they always end up back together. just as Jesus is thrown into facing his demons out in the wilderness, Tom, Yost, Sarah, and Jack have their own demons, which they will conquer. For Tom, it is the isolation and stuckness in which he has been living since his wife died. He works, and although he golfs with some friends, their relationship doesn't seem to be very deep. Yost says he is walking the Camino to lose weight so he can fit into his suit for a wedding. Yet the entire journey he is focused on food. In that particular region, the lamb, the goat cheese, just to name a few. Yost, who is from the Netherlands, is quite a character, and he's also the supplier of any drug necessary to make the journey easier. Sarah says that she's on the Camino to give up smoking, but she smokes the entire trip. But the fact is, she really isn't there to give up smoking. Her journey is deeper. She's working through the termination of her pregnancy because she was in an abusive relationship and she didn't want to raise her baby in a household where she would become a victim as well. Jack has writer's block. He has failed to write a book, and as a travel writer for magazines, has gone on the Camino to detail the experiences of the wide variety of individuals who commit to this pilgrimage. He is bound and determined to get Tom to open up about why he is there. The thing is, what is accomplished on the journey is not always what was intended. Tom didn't know he needed these people as friends with whom he could share this deep personal experience. Sarah probably couldn't imagine developing safe and caring relationships with three men when she was so scared of being abused again. Yost did not lose any weight on the trip, but he grew to love himself in a new way. Jack grew hopeful that he could write again, maybe even a book. And as he stepped foot into the Cathedral of St. James, swearing that he would never set foot in a church again, after experiencing the pain of his war-torn home of Ireland. He had described churches as temples of tears, and yet as he steps in, his own tears, as he sits in a pew in that beautiful space, offer him healing. Our psalm this morning speaks of how, as God's people, we are to follow God's ways. We're to live righteous and moral lives, seeking justice in our daily actions. Timothy Sandoval says that we are called to reject the way of the wicked and scoffers, which is a life path that holds little value. It will perish. We make choices each and every day about how we will live in the world, how we will embody God's love in the words that we speak and the things that we do. We don't want to become so rigid that we are not open to the ways God may be working in our lives and our community, though. That's what led God to sending Jesus to earth. The Pharisees had become so rigid in their keeping of God's law that they could not hear or see the way Jesus was emphasizing love and compassion over strict obedience to the law. Jesus was very much a moral individual, but he often did things that went against the law, like healing on the Sabbath, because that was more important than adherence to a rule that would have done more harm than good in that particular situation. Jesus' time in the wilderness, his spiritual pilgrimage, prepared him for the encounters that he would have with those who would challenge him, as well as those who deeply needed his message and his compassionate acts. He was able to deal with the scoffers because he had allowed himself to be open to the transformation of his pilgrimage in the desert. He had been grounded in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Psalms, as his guiding force, as his foundation. Phil Cosino, in his book, The Art of Pilgrimage, writes, "The purpose of pilgrimage is to make life more meaningful. Through sacred travel, individuals can find a path to the divine, the ultimate source of life. The essence of the sacred way is tracing a sacred route of tests and trials, ordeals and obstacles to arrive at a holy place and attempt to fathom the secrets of its power." We may not be physically going on a pilgrimage like Jesus during this Lenten season. We might not be going to walk the Camino de Santiago, but our Lenten journey can be likened to these pilgrimages. When Christians could not embark on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for important days, they planned other treks to cathedrals or holy sites as a way to have this kind of sacred encounter. When that kind of pilgrimage was not possible, walking a labyrinth like this one was a good substitute. A prayer path that leads to the center of the circle and back out again. Unlike other journeys we may embark upon and could have us wandering in a totally different direction, a labyrinth does not require us to make any choices, nor can you get lost. It's one way in and one way out. It doesn't mean that walking a labyrinth won't be challenging. Because if you've walked one before, you know that it can be a very powerful experience of prayer, or it may not feel like anything happened at all. If you're interested in walking a labyrinth, there is one at the center on Southwest Highway and at the Port Nicola in Frankfurt. So if you want to experience that during this Lenten season, I encourage you to check those out. Regardless, when our intention is to encounter the holy, we never know what to expect. Whether the path seems straightforward or it meanders, we can be delightfully surprised or perhaps feel something entirely different. Journeys or pilgrimages have the power to transform, but the result may not be anything that we anticipated. Jan Richardson writes, "This season of Lent provides a landscape that welcomes our own inner terrain, our fear, our pain and grief, our joy, solace and hope, and the wild space within us where all of this lives together. Lent tells us that everything we carry in us is met, held, and transformed in love." I pray that this season will be one of inner exploration where God's deep peace and love are found for you. Open yourselves to God's movement and blessing. Amen.